Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Stephen Sports Blog, here only on MSL Radio.
It's a crappy day, but it's also a good day. Crappy because of the weather. Where I am, it's pouring rain right now. And I'm like, oh boy, I didn't even notice until I first got to the studio that it's pouring rain. So other than that, though, it's a good day because we are officially underway with football. Training camps have opened. Every training camp opens starts today, or basically mostly every training camp starts today, including the Miami Dolphins, the Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay Packers, New England Patriots. There's a lot to get to today with the NFL training camp underway. You are listening to SC and Wally on MSL Radio. As always, I'm SCU, and alongside me, I have Wally. How are you doing today, Wally?
Pretty good. It's nice and sunny here, but it's pretty hot, so...
Oh.
Yeah, the rain might be a relief like for some of us.
Enjoy the sun, because right now I got rain. Hopefully the rain will go to you and I can get the sun. But right now, we're talking sports, because now that I think more about the Deflategate situation and think about what I've heard from the Patriots organization, nobody has handled this better than Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does exactly what you're supposed to do. And that's not worried about one person. He still has a whole team that still has to play, and he kept telling people, everybody on he kept telling reporters, focus on this team. We're ready to go practice, and you know they're ready. It's not Brady; it's the team. That's what the whole Patriots organization is worried about right now, is getting the team ready for the season, not worrying about Brady's suspension. That's Brady's problem. That's not the Patriots' problem. So I'm very happy with the way Bill Belichick handled this whole situation.
Yeah, he's Bill Belichick. Obviously, you could tell today he was getting, a little annoyed, but he kept having to repeat himself constantly and everything. But, Robert Kraft told them yesterday after, he went and made his big statement that, hey, nobody else has to talk about this anymore. So that's what Bill Belichick was saying. It was addressed yesterday, read the transcript. Like, let's focus on, we're here for training camp, not just, talk about the court case and all that stuff. Like, they're there for football. The other stuff's a whole other issue off the field. So, yeah, Bill Belichick definitely handles himself. Love him or hate him, he's one of the best in the NFL of all time, I would say, like, as far as coaches go.
Oh, yeah, he's up there with... I'm not sure if Bill Walsh won all four Super Bowls with the Niners. Well, I know he won four Super Bowls with the Niners. I don't know if he won the fifth one. But he's up there. Bill Walsh, Chuck Knoll, obviously. Vince Lombardi, obviously. Got to put him up there.
Mm-hmm.
But, Bill Belichick handled this perfectly. No stress for this guy. None at all. So, I just found that pretty awesome that Bill Belichick's handling this no stress at all. But what else? There we go. Oh, Eric Berry, the Kansas City Chiefs, is officially cancer-free. So just want to, say thank God for that, because...
Oh, yeah.
Cancer is obviously never something nobody... Cancer is something nobody wants to deal with. And we're just happy that Eric Berry no longer has to deal with it.
Yeah, definitely. Congratulations. In a way to keep fighting through it all, because that's not easy to do, especially, when you're a professional football player and all you want to do is be on the field and you can't. So, yeah, congrats.
Yep. Congratulations to Eric Berry. He's now cancer-free. He's cleared to practice as well. So that is good news for the Chiefs, because he's one of their better defensive players. And I was looking up at the Green Bay Packers today. They had a nice little way to get into training camp today. Apparently, they do this every year. They go on bikes to practice. And apparently, this is like an annual thing. I had no idea it was an annual thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bike parade or whatever you want to call it. Like the fans are, lined up heading into Lambeau or, head up into Green Bay and all this stuff, and everybody's just Yeah, it's just this thing that they do every year, and it's cool. Like, it's, you know, unique to the Packers and everything, and it's, you know, it's the fans love it, obviously, because, you know, the players are, like, right there for them. And so, yeah, it's a fun way to start, you know, training camp and everything. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting.
Just as long as somebody doesn't fall off the bike.
Well, that would be even more interesting. Make it be a little topic of that for Packers camp if someone actually fell off the bike. You know, they'd be practicing, like, hey, remember that guy that fell off the bike? That would probably be pretty funny between everybody. So Tom Brady's obviously not allowed to play the first four games as of right now, but he's still allowed to practice, allowed to do the preseason, all the good stuff. And there's been a lot going on with the Patriots, actually, starting off with the fact that he threw a pass to Julian Edelman, who threw it back to him, and Brady made a one-hand catch, and he caught
great.
A touchdown. It was an amazing play.
Yeah. It was funny. I mean, it's always funny to, like, see him when he has to run. Like, after he caught the ball, like, he's one of the worst runners I've ever seen. And, like, you just kind of saw him, like duck walk running, like, in the, you know, to get those last couple steps to get the end zone. It's just cracking up. But, yeah, Julian Edelman, I mean, he's, you know, he had that one big play last year, you know, with great, you know, where he passed the ball and everything, and that was, so that, I mean, that's a good weapon for them to have, too, is, you know, like, just for, you know, the alternative plays and everything. Because he's shown that he can throw the ball pretty good, too. But, yeah, Tom Brady making a one-handed catch was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. And the Jets even got in on this, too.
Oh,
they
yeah.
trolled the Patriots at their camp. They had, like, a, I think it was a plane or a jet or something.
Yeah.
And they had a big
right.
sign on the end of it. It said, cheaters, look up. I was like, oh, no, they didn't. That's just typical rivalry for you.
Oh,
Jets
yeah.
trolling the Patriots like that.
Yeah, it's a very Jets thing to do, and you know, and I mean, there they are, right? You know, day one of training camp, got to do that right away. You know, fly the plane banner and all that stuff. But it's a rivalry, and you know, stuff happens. But yeah, it was definitely very characteristic of the Jets.
It was, but so that just now that tells me that the Patriots see this. And now they're even more mad at the Jets. Not even his rivals, but the fact that they did that. That just adds fuel to the fire with this rivalry. So when these two teams meet, you know that the Patriots are going to want to dominate them like they've been doing the past few years.
Yeah,
Eagles Eagles Brandon Graham says, Tebow's going to play a lot this season. I hope so. And I say this all the time. Tebow needs to be the starter for the Philadelphia Eagles week one. When they play the Falcons on Monday Night Football. If they start another quarterback, they're not going to win games. Bradford, he is statistically like 12 to 13% chance he's going to tear his ACL for the third time in 2 years, 3 years. Like, you don't want that. You don't want to risk that. So Mark Sanchez took over last season facing Nick Foles. The Eagles were 6-2. They finished 9-7. You don't want that again. And Mac Barkley, who's that? That guy hasn't played a snap in the NFL, I don't think, except preseason. So Tebow is the answer, if you ask me.
We'll see. Yeah, I haven't seen too much like footage of Tebow practicing yet this year, but I don't know. I like the whole Bradford thing. Yeah, I mean, he's like so fragile that it's just like, and you have to wonder like if. That, you know, obviously that's got to somehow, you know, affect him mentally, like, out there, like, where he's probably, you know, more timid because he's afraid of getting hurt again, like, and I think that kind of has, like, a psychological effect on you, so, yeah, I'm not, like, if I was an Eagles fan, I wouldn't necessarily be comfortable with Sam Bradford. Sanchez, you know, he has his moments, but then when he, you know, screws up, you know, he really screws up, so... It's, yeah, the whole quarterback situation in Philly it's just confusing because it's like, I don't know. It's like picking the lesser, you know, three, four evils or whatever. Like, nobody's great. And, I mean, give people a shot, yeah. I mean, but I have no idea who they're actually going to go with, so.
Right. Well, according to what I know, apparently Bradford is the likely one to start week one. Yeah, good luck with that, Philadelphia. I'm telling you. The only, like, they start Bradford, their pass game's going to be terrible, bottom of the league. The only reason that the Eagles do succeed anywhere this season, the only reason it's going to be is if they start with their running game. Murray, Matthews, and I think they have Darren Sproles, too. Yeah, right. So, I don't know. The Eagles have the running game, but the Cowboys have the passing game. That's all I can say about that.
Very true. Definitely. So, yeah, the Cowboys. Let's see what happens.
So we're at the beginning of the sports football season, I would say. We're coming back. We're going to, I'm going to fix my laptop because my keyboard is not working right now. I'm going to try to fix this. And we're going to come back and talk more football because we love football. That's Ian Wally, MSO Radio.
ESPN New York, ESPN LA, ESPN Chicago, ESPN Dallas, ESPN Boston. But where's Miami? At MSL, we want to be the launching pad for ESPN Miami. So spread the word. MSL to ESPN.
MSL is looking for writers. If you are a fan of the Miami Dolphins, Miami Marlins, Miami Heat, Miami Hurricanes, Florida Panthers, Florida International University Panthers, or even golf, contact Stephen Err on Twitter at WritingFanatic2 for more information.
What's up, sports fans? If you want to get different perspectives on all things sports, on the field and off the field, join me, Casey Wallach, and my co-host, Stephen Err, on SCU and Wally, every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, only on MSL Radio.
All right, I'm feeling it. Welcome to Cruise Control, where the rhyming is tight, where the limelight's a lime and light.
Stop. What are you doing?
I'm rhyming. I'm rapping. My people
know what the show's about.
So what's
people
it about?
Want to hear what the show's about.
What's it about?
It's about two brothers coming together, discussing everything popular culture. We're opening up Pandora's box, and yes, I said Pandora's box, because nothing is off limits, and we're going to talk about things that everybody wants to hear about, things we want to talk about.
So everything and anything.
Everything and anything. This is Miami Sports and Lifestyle's very own Jonathan and Christian Cruz. So you just got to sit back, relax, and put it on what, Jay?
I'm not saying it.
You got to say it. No,
nope,
no.
Nope.
Like this.
Nah.
So what are we doing? Put it on what?
We're putting...
What?
Cruise control.
I've made my decision. I'm going to take my talents to South Beach, join D. Wade, and play for the Miami Heat.
DJ Irie! The Miami Heat!
Check out the Miami Sports and Lifestyle blog, only at miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSLblog.
Hey guys, it's your girl Tasha. Join me every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time for the Why Is It Taboo radio show on MSL Radio, where we will talk about things some churches just don't want to talk about. You can also follow me on Twitter at Why Is It Taboo, that's WHYISITTABOO. And just remember, guys, that there is nothing too hard for God.
The time is here, the time is now, the three sides have aligned once again, Jacob James Garcia, Aaron Cheatham, and Simply Courtney, the Black and Tan Show, are here for you, MSL Radio, Saturdays at 9, be there, or we will be there.
Thank you for calling Kinsman Save-A-Lot. May I help you?
Yes, ma'am. Is this a Save-A-Lot in Cleveland, Ohio? Because I'm about to come to Cleveland in about a week. This is the Cleveland, Ohio Save-A-Lot, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I have a question for you. How does it feel to be a business in a miserable-ass depressed city?
Ha 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 ha
The Andrew Powell Show with Darren Williamson and Eric Robinson is Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on MSL Radio. You are now listening to Stephen Sports Blog, here only on MSL Radio.
The coaches poll came out today, and no surprise to me, Ohio State, number one. Like, go figure, right?
Yeah.
Go figure. But Ohio State, the national champion. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, they're going to be missing their Big Ten defensive player of the year, though, for a couple games, and three other players for, like, marijuana and academic violations, I guess, that came out today.
Yeah, I just saw that myself. Apparently, their reasoning behind this is marijuana and academics. I wonder what that means. Well, obviously, it means that they're smoking weed, but I'm wondering about the... the academics. I don't know the whole story, but I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna look it up, and probably tomorrow we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I'm sure more information will come out throughout the day and stuff, and
right.
More details.
But about our guest today, if you listen to the show a lot, you know who Christine Hamilton is. She was supposed to come on today, but she told me this morning, let's just schedule for tomorrow. Like, you got it. So she'll be on with us tomorrow. I don't know what she'll want to talk about, but we're going to have fun. Because I know Casey, good friends with Christine, because both from Wisconsin natives. And me and her have been talking a lot the past few days because she has a lot of questions and stuff. So, yeah, Christine Hamilton was supposed to be our guest today, but she wound up not coming on. Just want to, bring that out there.
All right.
TCU.
Looking forward to it.
Oh, thank God. This makes me very happy because I was still pissed about TCU not making college football playoff last year. They are number two, right behind Ohio State. And you know what just makes this all worse? That TCU is not playing Ohio State this year. I wish they would. Obviously, we don't see Big Ten, Big 12 action all that much. But after last season, I want to see TCU play Ohio State to see which team is really better. Which team really deserved that spot in the college football playoff?
Yes, TCU. That's a good number two. Was really good behind the national champions and everything. And obviously, there was a huge controversy last year with them and Baylor and everything like that. As far as who got that last spot in the playoff. Obviously, we saw that Ohio State, had what it took to, prove that they deserve that fourth spot. And, they won the championship with their, third string quarterback. So, it's Ohio State's obviously looking good. TCU also, impressed with. And, the list, I think, Florida State's number eight. I'm not sure. I don't have the list in front of me, but what's Bama ranked?
I should know. I started writing for Bama football for Pro Football Spot. I should know this, but I honestly don't. But according to the other guys that write for SEC, Arkansas is ranked number 20.
Hmm.
I found that pretty interesting because Arkansas is not that good of a team. And then this is a big shocker. Tennessee, 25th. I was like, what? No way. I can't believe it because Tennessee has been one of the worst teams in college football the past, couple of years. Like, I don't see them top team at all.
Huh.
So, one, two. Baylor is four, the team that's supposed to beat out TCU or something along those lines. I don't even know what happened with that.
It's, for teams like in, up for debate, as far as that last spot last year. In the playoffs,
Bama. It seems that Bama is number three. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, okay.
TCU's two. Texas is 19th. No. Oklahoma is 19th. I don't know. USA Today Sports put an article, and it doesn't even say, like, it doesn't have a list. It just has, like, notes on teams. Oregon's 5th. Notre Dame's 11th. Boise State, wow, they're back up there at 24. Nice. I'm definitely a fan of Boise State football. See if ESPN, I'm trying to look up this thing so we can look at it. It's not showing me much. Yeah, Alabama's number 3. LSU's 13th. Ole Miss 15th. Missouri's 23rd. Yeah, I'm just not seeing much right now. We'll have to get the list, and we'll let you guys know about it tomorrow. But right now, I'm not getting anything.
All right. So, I got a quick little baseball story. Can I tell it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Okay. I don't know if you saw this last night. It had to do with the Mets and the Brewers. And this whole trade that was reported, but that never actually happened. And all this drama. Wilmer Flores, the shortstop from the Mets, and Zach Wheeler, the right-handed pitcher, were supposed to go to the Brewers for Carlos Gomez. And, like, even the Brewers teammates, like, posed with him and tweeted a farewell photo from the team plane yesterday. But anyway, so everybody thought this was going through. And then the fans at the San Diego game, they were, for Flores, gave him a standing ovation when he batted late in the game. And then when he went to play the following inning, thinking he was on the verge of being traded, you could see him, he was dabbing tears from his eyes and crying and all this stuff. And it's just like, and the manager's just like, someone came to me and said, Wilmer's crying. And he's like, there was nothing I knew about. It's like, why would I take him out of the game? Why is he crying? You know, what's going on? So it was just like, I mean, like, the whole thing is like that it just totally blew up on, like, social media as far as it being reported too early. And anyway, though, like, you know, Flores was, you know, sad because, you know, he's been with the Mets his whole career. I was joking last night, like, I was like, well, he's either crying tears of joy for leaving the Mets or tears of sadness for coming to the Brewers. So, and obviously it would have been the tears of sadness for coming to the Brewers, which I can understand anybody saying. But, it was just a bizarre situation. So that's my baseball news.
Yeah. I do remember seeing a Mets pitcher crying. I didn't know who it was. I was like, what the hell's going on right now? Because obviously I had no idea. I don't follow the Mets or the Brewers.
No.
But I do know both teams are definitely horrible. No offense to anybody. I'm just saying, putting it out there. And, yeah, I do know about the Carlos Gomez trade, though. Like, I know that he was supposed to go somewhere, and then he wasn't. So I don't know what just happened with that. But the only thing, I don't know much about his stats. The only thing I really know about Carlos Gomez is that he has a great temper. Like, there was one game that played Pittsburgh last year. A whole big fight started because of this guy.
Yeah.
It was just very crazy to watch.
And then, like, early, you know, a few weeks ago, he slid in, you know, to somebody's knee, I think. And, like, you know, they got hurt and everything when he was going to base and all that stuff. So, yeah, he's a character. I mean, you hear him, like, in the news for more bad things than good.
More definitely. More bad news than there is good for Carlos Gomez, who's not going to the Mets. Like, first thought. We all thought he was going to the Mets. Okay.
All right. So, let's see.
My laptop
okay.
is, like, having a seizure right now. I have no idea what is going
okay.
on.
There was a list that came out yesterday. I believe it was which NFL teams, like, rang in the top offenses, like the top five leading candidates to average 30 points per game. The Patriots were still number one over the Green Bay Packers. And they said even without, you know, say if he was you know, out for four games, whatever. They still averaged, after the first four games last year, the Patriots still averaged 32.3 points per game. And, you know, you got Gronk healthy. Obviously, that's a huge point, you know, point addition maker, whatever you want to say. And, you know, the basically, you know, the Patriots are a pretty reliable team. I mean, you kind of just always expect them to be up there and everything. We'll see, like, what happens and everything. And your Cowboys are number five.
Not surprised there.
Yeah. And, you know, they've got the NFC South games this year, and they play, obviously, that division. There's not really a team with a really strong defense at all, but, you know, in their own division. So, basically, you know, probably would have been ranked higher if they had more of a, you know, running game, like, that could be relied on. So, and then, yeah, Packers were two, and Colts three, four was the Broncos, which, I don't know, I'm not sold on the Broncos, just because of the whole thing with, you know, Peyton Manning, you know, his arm strength isn't as obviously good, so they're going to have to transition to more running, you know, run-oriented offense, and, yeah, so I'm not sure. I can't see him in the top five necessarily, just unless they totally overhaul their offense and change their whole mentality and are successful with it. It just doesn't seem, I would probably put the Steelers in there instead, but so, and then we were going to talk about that. Your boy, Jerry Jones, said that he supported Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
Upholding that suspension.
I did see that. And I don't understand Jerry Jones' train of thought right now, because I definitely don't support Tom Brady's upheld suspension. The guy knew about, yes, he's guilty, but he only knew about it. He didn't do it.
Yeah.
So I still don't understand why he's getting these four games. We talked about this yesterday. Four games for knowing about something. And then you have Ray Rice, who beats his wife. Two games. Greg Hardy beats somebody else. He gets 10 games. And now everybody on Twitter is telling everybody else, fire Roger Goodell. And it's just a lot of drama in the NFL right now. Why can't we just play football and move on? That's all we need, you know?
Yeah, I kind of made fun of it on Twitter last night. You were on, I think you were doing the show at the time, and I retweeted and I said, no, like when I said, you know, Jerry Jones is, you know, happy that Roger Goodell, blah, blah, blah. So I said, no bleep, Sherlock. Cowboys won an easy win week five against the Patriots, whereas the Steelers want to play Brady in week one because they're real competitors. So let's talk a little smack about the Cowboys.
Yeah, I remember that.
But, I mean, you know, I just don't think, you know, I just think you just need to concentrate on football instead of kissing Roger Goodell's butt.
Yeah, I agree. It's time to get the football, damn it. We are 10 days away from football. Steelers Vikings kicked off the Hall of Fame game, Canton, Ohio, on August 9th on NBC. And since my laptop is being garbage right now, I unfortunately cannot play the outro. So I guess we just say, this has been SC and Wally on MSL Radio. We'll be back
tomorrow.
Hopefully. Hopefully we'll be back tomorrow, because my laptop has some crap out on me again. And we'll be with Christine Hamilton. So,
all right.
That's
have
that.
A good day, everybody.
All right. See you, everybody.
Yeah, true.